But his throne to 18 is eternally
shining as stars. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 18. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe. Word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ, that I did not run or labour for nothing. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and the service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you, all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. May God bless the reading of his word.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Brian. And now I'm going to just pray for Carolyn and then she'll come up and speak. Lord, we thank you for Carolyn and her gifts. We thank you that you have anointed her. And Lord, we pray for her now as she ministers to us through the word. May you bless her preparation and encourage our hearts and minds. In your mighty name, amen.
Well, good morning. It really is a joy to be here this morning. Over the years, I have had the privilege of getting to know quite a few of you as I've come up and visited Mum and Dad and Martin and Catherine and the boys. So I want to thank you for the very warm welcome that I have received here over the years. And it really is an honour now to open up God's words to you this morning. Let's see if I can get the PowerPoint working. Do I need to point it?
I'll wait a minute.
I'll wait.
Is that your first slide? Or
we're going to go? Oh, it's all right. It's lit up now. Do I need to point it in any direction?
Oh, no. And it's not on the screen. One part on the one that Karen's looking at.
Oh, okay. There we go, that one. There we go. Great. Well, fortunately, yesterday we all had to change the clocks, I did remember to do that. But at least if I hadn't, I would have arrived here early rather than late. So it would have been a bit annoying, but it would have been a complete disaster. I have to say that this is my least favourite weekend of the year. Saying goodbye to the summer, packing away all my flip-flops, the weather turning colder and less daylight hours, it's pretty miserable. There are some days when you get up in the dark and you come home in the dark. And I actually find it quite hard. And I actually have a special lamp by the side of my bed that is designed to simulate sunlight. And you are probably aware that sunlight releases serotonin, which is that feel-good factor, which is good for our general well-being and mental health. You see, light is essential. We can't live without it. Light is life-giving. And one of the things that makes such a positive difference in the winter is the power of light in a variety of forms and the joy that it brings. And if you're like me, you will love seeing so many places adorned with fairy lights when it gets into these sorts of months, or the warm glow of a fire, or candles. I love lighting candles around my place at this time of year. The darker it gets, the more we appreciate the light. And people are drawn to the light. The title I've been given today is Light Up the World, and I'm going to focus specifically on verse 14 and 16. But let's just paint a bigger picture first, maybe just a refreshing of what's been taught the last few weeks. See, Paul's words to the Philippian church here follows on from everything that he has said before. In chapter 1, Paul told the Philippian church to be abounding in love, to stand firm in the face of persecution, and to live lives worthy of the gospel. In the opening verses of chapter 2, Paul urges the Philippians to be humble and to look to the interests of others above their own, with the beautiful example of Christ's humility and obedience. And now in today's passage, there is a continuation with a sense of living a life worthy of the gospel, and about obedience as disciples and standing out with the light of Christ in the darkness of the world. So let's dive into verse 14 and 15. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. Quite a challenge. So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Now, this is a call to the church in a corporate sense to live together in harmony. It's a plea for unity. There were issues which Paul had to address in the church regarding unity, and we see some of those later on in chapter 4. We know of at least one division between Euodia and Syntyche, and there may have been more. A divided church, disagreement between believers, is not the best witness. It isn't going to make you stand out and shine like stars. These issues need to be addressed to reach a place of unity and a place of positive witness. And Paul is referencing the Old Testament here, which is why the phrase appears in quotation marks. Children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation appears in quotation marks. And he's referencing Deuteronomy 32, verse 5, the song of Moses, when he's referring to the Israelites and says they are corrupt and not his children. To their shame, they are a warped and crooked generation. Grumbling and complaining were significant sins throughout the desert wanderings of the Israelites. And when the Israelites grumbled against God in the desert, he declared them to be a crooked and warped generation and not behaving as children of God. However, Paul pronounces the opposite upon the Philippians. He says, you shouldn't be like that. I don't want you to be have that reputation that they had. You should be blameless. Yes, they are in the midst of a crooked and warped generation, but they are not to be part of it. They are not to be people marked by disagreement and grumbling, but by purity, unity, light, and as children of God, as they should be. Other versions translate warped and crooked as brutal, perverse, depraved, corrupt, polluted. You get the picture, and it's not a very nice one. The morality of the Roman Empire, including first century Philippi, was shocking. But it's a description of our society too, isn't it? You don't have to look very far to see the darkness in our world. One glimpse of the news, even in our own communities, and we are very aware of the generation that we are living in. The church in Philippi are to stand out in contrast to the world. And so should we. It's a calling upon us today as well. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. Rather than feeling intimidated by those around them, afraid of persecution and opposition, and hiding and cowering from their society, Paul urges the Philippians to shine like stars. And actually the imperative is used here. So it is more of a sense of you must shine. He challenges them to change their society. Now the Greek word that is used is luminaries. And some translations translate it as lights in the world and others as stars in the sky. But the image is the same. The powerful contrast of light against darkness. Has anyone ever gone off and done some stargazing? Anyone tried that? It's a thing, yeah, it's a thing I used to do at uni, like not an official thing, just like me and my mates. We would drive off to the Peak District and we would lie in the grass at night in our sleeping bags and just stare up at the sky. And more often than not, it would just naturally evolve into spontaneous worship because the stars were so powerful and so awe-inspiring. The night sky was just transformed by them. You might have been aware that last Christmas there was something dramatic in the night sky with the stars as well, where Jupiter and Saturn aligned. I wish I'd thought of getting a picture of it. It was the first time in 800 years that they came together, and as they came together, the light was so bright that they were talking about it as the Star of Bethlehem. And I remember going out onto the Elsie Park estate, and Mum and I would just be looking up, and we would see it. It would be so clear and obvious, and we did it for a few nights, and it was one of those wow moments. Because that's what stars do. Light is transformative and beautiful, and people are drawn to the light. Shining like stars is linked to holding the word of life, which is the gospel. And Paul is probably not commanding them to clutch the gospel as tightly as possible so that no one can take it from them. Rather, he's urging them to have the gospel in their arms at all times, ready to share it with anyone who might listen, to hold firmly, but to also hold out. We have something wonderful and precious and unique to share. There is so much in scripture about light, so much. And one of the passages I just want to refer to is in Matthew chapter 5, where we are also told to be light bearers. I love this passage. We use it a lot in our ministry. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We are called to be very public and very visible with our light. Yes, as Christians, people should naturally see God in us. We carry the Holy Spirit, so in some ways, we should be distinctive without even trying. But there is also a calling to a greater intentionality here in both Matthew and in Philippians. How we can be light bearers is something that we need to actively consider and pursue in our lives. How can we light up the world? How can we shine in the darkness? How can people see more of Jesus in us? Well, Paul has already made it clear that our lifestyle is one of the ways, that our behaviour and our speech should be marked by love. But there are more ways that we can direct people to God, the source of ultimate light and life, to offer the word of life, to introduce people to truth and the gospel message. As I said earlier, one of the areas of ministry that Third Space Ministries is involved in is chaplaincy to dancers in strip clubs in London, helping them to explore their identity and purpose and a faith in God. It might be a very unusual ministry, and it is certainly a very niche calling. But it is definitely a place of contrast where the light shines all the more brightly. Do you know what we call this ministry? We call it Illuminate Soho, because that is what we long to see. And we have genuinely been bowled over by the welcome that we have had, the doors that have opened, and the spiritual hunger that there is. Do not be overwhelmed by the darkness or think that nothing can change. Remember that people are drawn to the light. Something else that we were involved in a few years ago, just before the summer, before the pandemic, was doing some outreach with some festival goers. So we're based in Morden. The church I go to is in Morden, and we're on a high street, fairly similar to you. We've got some space at the front of our church, and there was a huge dance music festival happening in Morden Park. And lots of the festival goers had to walk past the front of our church to go to the festival. And it was the first time that it had happened. And lots of the local residents were very concerned. Complaints went into the council. Oh my goodness, 20,000 odd young people descending on our town. What sort of trouble are they going to cause? Now, some of these concerns were legitimate. Of course they were. But the other way of looking at it was, oh my goodness, 20,000 young people coming to our town. What an opportunity. And my heart was very much to build a bridge, to have some connection between the church and the festival goers, and to say to the festival goers, you might want to think twice about God and church and Christians. We might not be everything that you imagine us to be. And to say to the church goers, maybe you might want to think twice about some of these young festival goers. They might not be all that you expect them to be. And so we set up, as I said, we do some work with DJs, and a lot of Christian DJs. So we set up some decks, and the DJs were playing really cool dance music, all the music that the festival goers would have been hearing anyway. So they were like drawn like bees to a honeypot as they could hear it. And then we had like cans of drink, little lollipops, festival face painting. And let me show you one of our DJs. Festival face painting, and then we had some prayer cards and some specially designed gospels. And now it's easy, I know it's easy to look at a group of people en masse, they're loud, they've been drinking, and it is intimidating, I do get that. But at the end of the day, they are just people who need to be loved, and they are looking in the wrong direction. So when they came and they sat on the wall, we got a little bit of a low wall at the front of our church, and they'd come and sit on the wall. And when you had one-on-one chances to chat to them, oh my goodness, the stories came tumbling out. And they wanted prayer, and they wanted the gospels. And they couldn't believe that the church would do this. And it was so fascinating watching their faces, because all they could hear was like the dance music. So they started to come towards the music, and then you saw their faces. They looked at the DJ, and they looked up and saw a church, and they were just sort of like, what? This just doesn't make sense. And we overheard one of them say to his friend, is that the church? No way does the church do that. They didn't expect us to be saying to them, have a brilliant time, we love you guys. They were expecting judgment and, don't want to do that kind of thing. And one festival goer said to us, you have saved my life today. You have no idea what you have done. I have no idea what that person was referring to, but God used the little that we offered in a way that we couldn't have imagined. And the church shone that day. And people are drawn to the light. One of my friends who was helping, and she was a fairly new Christian, and she said to me, that would have been me. A few years ago, that would have been me. Going off to the festival, getting drunk, putting on a front. But I would have been curious, and I would have come up and I'd have taken a gospel, put it in my handbag, and read it when none of my friends were looking. And she said, I know that there will be other people like me there. I know that there will be. There are many spiritually hungry people in our society who simply don't know where to start. During the last 18 months, I've taken walks with lots of friends who don't have a faith in Jesus. You may have done that too. And they've allowed themselves to be vulnerable as they've let their guard down and asked me questions about the gospel, forgiveness, prayer, eternity, purpose, more than I've ever known before. You may be familiar with some statistics that have come out in the last year showing the increased search for prayer and spirituality. The Daily Telegraph talked about a 50% surge in prayer and described it as a global phenomenon. One in four people across the UK have engaged in some form of online worship since lockdown began. Online Alpha Course sign-ups tripled during lockdown. And a poll that came out just last month found that young people are particularly engaged spiritually, with half of 18 to 34-year-olds praying to God at least once a month. This is incredible. And this is indicative of a new season that we are in, and one that we just cannot ignore. The spiritual temperature appears to be rising. And as people are perhaps aware of the darkness around them, the mess that this world is in, they are asking more questions, searching for more meaning. We are still faced with a world of unknowns. We are still processing the trauma that we have all gone through. That doesn't just disappear overnight. And it will continue to trigger spiritual searching because people are being drawn to the light. Light is powerful, and it is so important as well to remember that it only takes a tiny spark of light to make a difference. Only takes a tiny spark to dispel the darkness. You may feel that you are not shining very brightly, that you're not that good a witness, but even the smallest light can make a difference. Be encouraged that God is at work in you. Verse 13, we go back to that. It is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. The Holy Spirit will be the fuel who helps us keep shining like stars. We don't need to know all the answers or to be a gifted communicator. If you go back to that festival outreach, one of my friends who was a volunteer, she had a festival goer come and say to her, "So what do you believe about God?" And she didn't panic, and she didn't think, "Oh, I've got to explain all the contents of the Alpha Course, or I've got to start with Genesis, or I've got to go through a tract." In that moment, the words God gave her to say were simply, "I believe God is right here, right now. That's what I believe about God." And those words were the right words for the moment as this young woman started to open up about her painful life. That then led to the opportunity to pray with her and to sow a seed, helping her understand more about Jesus and this God who pursues her with his relentless love. Trust that God will use the little that you offer. We don't all have the gift of an evangelist, but we are all called to shine. And you really can shine. And this is something to be excited about, not daunted by. So don't underestimate the part that you can play. You know, if you picture a road, it's in complete darkness. No lights are on in houses. There's no street lamps. You don't know where the end is. You can't see the end. You put one lamppost on that road and it really helps. But you put several lampposts, one after the other, and it changes it completely, and it reveals the way forward. You might be one lamppost, so to speak, in someone's life, but there will be others added to the light along the way on their spiritual journey. And I also just want to really encourage you as a church in what you are doing together. I'm loving hearing about Alpha and the light parties and the bridge. This is brilliant, and it is definitely shining a light. But I wonder where else God might be calling you to shine, corporately, but also personally. It doesn't have to be the darkest of places. I'm not saying you've got to come into strip clubs and nightclubs or anything like that. Oh, one more click. Not quite working. But it might simply be in your street, in a regular place that you visit, in a coffee shop, with a group of people who have yet to encounter the light and love of God, maybe in your own family. Or maybe it's about getting involved in a grassroots organisation so that you can change society and influence politics. How can you be more intentional and prayerful about this over the coming months? Maybe make that your challenge between now and Christmas. And maybe tonight, or another night this week when the sky is clear, look up at the sky. Notice those stars. And just ask God where he's calling you to shine. And if you're here this morning, or you're watching online, and you're someone who has been drawn to the light, you are someone who is looking for answers, but you have never really encountered the light and love of Jesus in your own life, please come and chat to me or Nick or a Christian that you know, and we would love to explain that to you. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to listen to a song which just fits so perfectly with the theme today. And during that song, just listen to it, but also allow that time, during that time, allow the Holy Spirit to just nudge you in some of those things that maybe you've been prompted about today. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the power of light, that you are the source of true light, and that you have overcome the darkness. Our prayer today is that you will show us where you are calling us to shine, that you will use us in even the smallest of ways. Our confidence will be built as we shine your light and truth to those around us. Please use us. Please show us where you want us to shine today. I ask this in your powerful name, Lord Jesus. Amen.